Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You're listening to the Wes and Walker Show.
I want to have a barking contest.
It's Wes.
This is the Wes Bulldog Bryant. What you got? It's so much better. It's the best.
And Walker.
This is Fitty's bark. If Fitty was a dog behind a fence, would you enter this cage? Go ahead, Fitty. Show him your bark.
That was sensational. I don't know if I can beat that.
Only on Sports Radio 92.7 FM WFNZ.
In case you were wondering what the poll results were from last week, whether we would play Piano Man or trumpets, Piano Man wins. And it's going to be here, folks. Seems like forever. I'm never going to be able to escape it. It's Wes and Walker Sports Radio, 92.7 WFNZ. You know what time it is. It's 2 o'clock on a Friday when you hear Billy Joel on the Wes and Walker Show. I want to go to the FanDuel text line real quickly, 704-570-9610. People are still writing about this David Tepper thing. It's pretty I don't even know if it's split. Feels maybe even more so people are defending David Tepper after they watch the video. If you look at what he did going into David, I don't want to talk about this as much, man. But, like, he almost forces us to with some of this odd behavior. So he walks in. He takes the hat off of the manager at Dilworth Neighborhood Grill. The hat is a Philadelphia Eagles hat, just so everybody is clear. He puts it down. And then they seem to, you know, kind of lob funny insults, or not even insults, just lob funny things back and forth. They seem to be just messing around, whatever it is. And then David Tepper and somebody that was with them, they walk out of Dilworth Neighborhood Grill, and people are saying this video is such a nothing burger. Like, for me, I just have to ask why you decided to pull into the restaurant. Because people will tell you, well, Walker, this is what he does every single draft day. He shows up at different restaurants. He's shown up at WFNZ draft parties before. That's true. And you know what he does? He mingles with us. He says what's up. He says what's up to some of the people that are there. It's cool. He makes an appearance. I actually like that. I think that's really cool when he does that on draft day. So if I led you astray before with that take, I'll walk that back a little bit. The timing, I'll even walk back. I emphasize that it was 2 hours before the NFL draft. Fine. Okay, like that's, I shouldn't emphasize the timing. Whatever. But you weren't mingling. Not here. Like, if you really wanted to go into Dilworth Neighborhood Grill and you wanted to be this man of the people that you sold the fans on, and then instead what you do is you want to talk about the sign, throw your weight around a little bit, but okay, you're just having fun, whatever. It's all harmless.
Passive aggressive is what they call it around my way.
I think we have similar ways. You don't mingle with the people there, and instead you just talk to the manager and the hostess at the table, and then you leave? Now, look, if I'm wrong on this and he actually went and mingled with the people and he said, hey, who do you think we should take? Oh, that's cool. I think that's really cool. Like, I actually welcome that. I'm not trying to hate on David Tepper at every single possible turn that I get. If you did that and you mingled with the community and you were truly a man of the people on a big day that is supposed to provide hope for the Panthers fan base, all of that's fine. I'm here for it. That brings you a little more understanding as to why you pulled into the parking lot in the first place. But if you pulled in just to throw your weight around about what the sign says, make your presence known, take somebody's hat off, and then leave, then who did you mingle with? Like, you mingled with the manager, the person at the host table, and then you bounced. So what was your reason for doing it? That's my thing. It's not the biggest deal in the world. It's not nearly as bad as some of the other things David Tepper has been accused of doing or we know he's done. But it's weird. It's weird.
And I'll follow up with you too, man, because a lot of people out there that's trying to say it's nothing. The fact that you come in there and take somebody's hat off, right? So let's just say this was a different scenario and you were at a game. Let's say you were at a Philly Panthers game and a Philly fan came up to you and took your hat off. I don't think a lot of you guys are going to be looking at it as, oh, they're just playing, even if the person was playing and laughing when they did it. And I don't think Tepper would take it in much the same manner if somebody would have taken his hat off. Let's say somebody was standing in there with a, I don't know, pick a team, Buffalo Bills hat,
yeah,
and took off his Carolina Panthers hat and put it on a thing. I think he would be pretty pissed off by that. So like you said, Walker, it was very passive-aggressive behavior. We know this is an entitled rich guy that's coming in there saying, you know, to me that's treating somebody like a peon when you come in there to take their hat off and do it because you know that you feel like you can.
Look, you guys can say that we're reading way too much into it, but it's a little bit of a status check. Does David Tepper feel like he can do that to other people?
Right.
Like that are other billionaires? There's not even anybody else that are billionaires that he's frequenting with.
Yes.
At least not weekly. I don't even know. Right? Like, I'll ask you this. Is he doing that to a Panthers player? Like, I don't.
Right. And Chadillac brings a great point to the table. Imagine if the hostess was a female and he took her hat off. It would be an even bigger deal.
Yeah, just don't take the hat
I'm
off,
saying,
man.
Don't touch people you don't know.
Like, it's weird that you showed up anyway and only talked to them, but just don't take the hat off, and then it's like, all right. But, yeah, I don't want to take more time away from Leggett or
that
number 39.
The 252 said it's a bad look, but at least the drink wasn't around, LOL.
No, yeah. No, there are plenty of people that have come in with the drink jokes, making sure, was anybody in the splash zone? Was it SeaWorld over there with everybody at the splash zone? Did everybody take away all of the plastic cups? Yes. I do not believe that we had another drink incident at Dilworth Neighborhood Grill. We actually have some news that's taking place with something that will affect what happens on the football field. Ian Rappaport just tweeted out 10 minutes ago, Wes, that the Panthers are officially picking up the fifth-year option for standout cornerback J.C. Horn. He is locked in for an additional season. We heard some press availability from Dan Morgan. I don't know how many, maybe it was a month ago, 2 months ago at the Combine, something like that, where he said they had not officially made a decision yet on whether they were going to pick up the fifth-year option. It always felt like they were going to. It was a little odd to me that he wasn't as decisive, but eventually they do it, and to me it makes all the sense. I know there's some risk with the injury stuff that's there. That's real. It has to be considered. But at the end of the day, this is the exact same move I'm making as well.
Yeah, I think it is because, you know, it's not like you're paying an exorbitant price to be able to bring him back. And you got to hope at this point, I know you've probably done it the last few years, but you got to hope at this point the injury luck on this guy can turn around. And so if you're the Carolina Panthers, maybe you just have faith in JC. You see how he's working behind the scenes. You see how bad he wants it. And you say, hey, let's give this thing one more try at a not so crazy price. And if it doesn't work out, you move on.
Sorry, I'm laughing at somebody that just wrote in. Walker, it's not even that big of a deal. If on Monday the bulldozers are knocking the building down, then it's a problem. I said possible with David Tepper. He just might do that. Yeah, for me, with picking up the fifth-year option, it seemed like you were a little more hesitant, but eventually you get to that conclusion that you would pick up the fifth-year option. I get it. He's not played many games. It's the most frequent caveat we go to when talking about a player, if he stays healthy, if he's on the field. And it gets annoying. It does. I hate saying it. But we have to. We have to do it a little bit with LaMelo Ball. And that sucks as well. I hate that a couple first-round picks that impact the team in a great manner, we always have to talk about with the if factor because of their health. But we talked about how important cornerback is in the NFL, man. These wide receivers, it seems like there is the best class every single season. And it's true. It's not over-exaggerated. This was crazy. You got a lot of talent. I was looking at the DJ Moore and Xavier Leggett scores on how they measured the combine via production and athleticism. It was interesting because, remember, in that DJ Moore class, it was kind of a weak wide receiver class. He graded out at like an 82 with a combined combine score. Xavier Leggett, as what, like the fifth receiver taken, I think had 1 point higher than DJ, and yet DJ might have been the first receiver taken in that draft, and then I think Calvin Ridley was right after that. This class is deep. You need guys that can
come. I can't wait to see how many of these guys end up, who's going to pan out and who won't.
Yeah, and you see these guys pan out, not only in the first round anymore, but we've talked about it a bunch too. Second, third, fourth, fifth. You are seeing those guys break out in a way that we have not seen before, and it's happening a lot more frequently. So the fact that you pick up somebody that is a very good corner in this league, I think it's worth the risk. And if he gets injured again, you hate it. I hate it for the Panthers. but you already don't have a lot of depth at this position. And this is somebody that is one of the best corners in the league when playing. You know, Pro Bowl, maybe. There's a couple of good corners in the league. But, man, a lot of teams need those cover guys. We saw the run at the end of the first round. We saw Philadelphia go after one. Then we saw Nate Wiggins with Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And remember, cornerback was their undoing in Philadelphia. There was a lot that happened with Philadelphia, to be fair. But the entire season, the guys on the outside did not perform up to snuff. And now Baltimore gets Nate Wiggins, and people love it. Yeah, I think this is well worth the risk, despite him having such an extensive injury history.
Yeah, I think so too, man. And you talked about it, and especially if they're able to add another corner. Like we said, if they do add a Kool-Aid or a Cooper DeJean, especially, you know, the DeJean angle, and I know some people feel like maybe he could be moved to safety, but you would have a chance to have two big corners out there that would be really good against the run. So there are a lot of possibilities that the Panthers could go. And you have Dane Jackson as well. So, you know, the Panthers, it's going to be fun to see which way they decide to go. But getting J.C. Horn back into the fold, and, you know, I'd like to think at this point, man, another injury just can't happen to this guy. I mean, he would have to have one of the worst bouts of injuries in NFL history.
Yeah, it'd be terrible. I would hate to see it. I certainly hope it doesn't happen either. So are we still leaning offensive line, center position for this 39 pick?
I think if you get JPJ, man, you got to do it. You got to do it.
Number one on your board, right?
Paying him second round money for 3-4 years, you know, especially with you having the high priced guards beside those two. We don't know what's going to happen with Icky in a couple of seasons when he may be due for some money. And we know Taylor Moten has one of the larger salaries on the roster. But if you get a chance, people, you know, center is probably the least sexy position on an offensive line that you could draft. But when you get a really, really good one, man, that captains that offensive line, because that's another aspect. I don't want to get on my center soapbox here because I didn't want to play the position. But when you talk about the quarterback of your offensive line, keeping that cohesiveness with the calls and recognizing those blitz pickups and stuff, when you got a good quarterback center combo, you know about that Walker growing up in Indianapolis, Peyton Manning and Jeff Saturday, the synergy that they had between each other, that makes so much difference in a game. And they can see some things that the quarterbacks can't even see and make some of those timely blitz pickup calls, man. So if you can get a big time center, and the Panthers know about it here with Ryan Khalil. So
yeah,
they can really do wonders for your line if you get a great center.
It's really hard to mock a second round because at this point you're picking that BPA guy that we love so much. Yeah. It's just so tough to try to fit the square peg in a round hole. Yeah. Even if you need a position, like, nobody's going to be drafting tight end within the next four spots. There's just not anybody good enough, in my opinion. I think it would be a crazy reach if that happened in the first 5, 6, 7 picks or so. Buffalo's at 33. They have to go receiver here, right? Like, if they
do a thing, I think they may make a deal. I mean, they could end up making a deal with T. Higgins. These NFC teams, boy, they're doing favors. They're like the Latin music scene. All of their artists love to collaborate and do songs together. And that's what it looks like the AFC is doing. Buffalo, come on, Kansas City, you whoop our behind, but we'll help you out. And then, you know, they make a trade with the Bengals. It's T. Higgins, guys. Go ahead and get him so he can kill us when we play you.
I know we've mentioned it too much, but it does seem crazy that Buffalo just said, here you go.
Yeah. You knew what the Chiefs wanted. You should never help rivals like that have been giving you a hard time. If the 49ers made a trade with the Eagles to help them get a player that they wanted, or the Rams or something, I can't do it.
I don't care what you got. I mean,
Panthers helping the Falcons or the Saints. Come on now.
Well, yeah, and even so, it's not the division tax would be real too, but Kansas City has given you painful moments.
They're giving everybody in the league pain.
And Buffalo more so, but you're right. They've given everybody in the league pain. And you know, I'm sorry, speaking to a San Francisco fan.
They've given me great pain.
Hey, that's
why I cursed when they picked them.
That's real touche on your part, to be honest. I was focusing way too much on Buffalo, but you're right. San Francisco has a great argument. But Buffalo, that's what's crazy, man. Like, Buffalo is the team that you lose to when you have a lead with 13 seconds.
Yes.
And then you're like, all right, here's the fastest guy
ever. Worthy has 5 catches for 190 yards and 2 touchdowns. We'll see how you feel about that trade then.
He does look sweet, too. Worthy looks really good. It doesn't just look like a one-trick pony. He looks pretty sweet. I can't believe they did it. We'll move on. We'll continue to talk about the draft. Fitty's Live Wire coming up next. Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. We have two more segments to go on Wes and Walker, Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. By the way, we're here to remind you about Nitro Thunder returning to ZMAX Dragway for the NHRA 4-Wide Nationals Friday, April 26th through Sunday, April 28th. That's this weekend. Every ticket is a pit pass, so come early to see your favorite drivers and their cars up close before a festival of 40,000 horsepower ignites the excitement. For more details and to purchase tickets, don't walk. Race to CharlotteMotorspeedway.com again. CharlotteMotorspeedway.com. That's a good sound effect.
Like
why are you good at sound effects sometimes, man?
Like, I don't know, man. God gives us a lot of different gifts, and I guess one of mine is just being good at sound
effects. All right, I'm going to do that again. Let's replay the last 10 seconds, okay. And you do it again. Right. For more details and to purchase tickets, race to CharlotteMotorspeedway.com. Again, that's CharlotteMotorspeedway.com. It's very good. It's very good.
You should have my son do it, and he can do different cars. He'll be playing with his stuff, and he can do different ones. He'll be like, no, Dad, this is how this one sounds. This is how that one sounds, and he's really good at it.
When you speak engine, you know you're into cars.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what you did. And if that's just a secondhand understanding of the language because of what your son can do.
He loves noisy cars. When he drives by and he hears those engines on those cars that race and do all that stuff, he's like, yes, yes, yes.
Is he going to be the guy, though, that ends up driving really fast past the outside bar?
Oh, I hope not. I told him we're going to have the app on the car and everything. I said, as soon as you come in, I'm just going to say, give me the keys.
You got to stop him from that.
But if he got that NIL and he bought it himself, what am I going
to
say?
Wes, you're an outstanding father. I do not have a child. Far be it for me to give you parenting advice. I do have to say, please don't let your child become that person.
I know. I don't want to. He swears he's not, but I don't believe him. I think he's capping.
If he speaks engine, then he might want to just speak it a little bit louder. We do have a controversy on our hands, though, before we get to the live wire. Okay. Wes, Roger Goodell had it right.
He did, huh?
Mike Solarte tweeted out, Xavier Leggett actually a little late to the podium, so he's meeting with media right now. Xavier Leggett says people should pronounce his name with two E's. So it looks like Leggett is the way to do it. Joe Person quote tweets it and says, so Roger Goodell had it right and the rest of us have been mispronouncing it. Xavier Leggett.
How could we ever come at the commish?
Xavier Leggett. It does not roll off the tongue the same way.
I think that I could definitely see Goodell going to the person before they make the pick. And he's like, how do you pronounce this? And he probably, because NFL has researchers and all that stuff. So I'm sure they have the phonetic spellings for pretty much every player's name, especially if it's one that looks difficult. So he's probably like, hey, how do you say this? And they tell him.
This has happened a couple of times. We've talked about the Kamara thing. He says Kamara. So I try to pronounce the name the way that the people want me to. It's their name. It's what their parents wanted to name them. And so I try to respect that as much as possible. We ran into this situation with Bijan Robinson turned Bijan Robinson, which also felt very weird. Xavier Leggett. It's going to be weird, man.
It is.
I don't like it, but I'll still roll with it. I'm sorry. I don't want to desecrate the Leggett
and
name.
And was everybody, because I'm trying to think now, it's one of those things where you don't pay attention to what people are saying when they're saying it. I think I remember every analyst that I've listened to saying Leggett.
Haven't heard it once. No, have absolutely not heard it once. I do think what happens is these guys just don't really care and will let you just say it at first. And then, once it starts to become official, it's like, all right, I'm in the NFL now. This is how you pronounce it. But when you're in college and then there's so many people running wild with it, maybe you don't correct people. I could see that.
Yeah.
I've not corrected people with my last name before and people butcher that. So I understand it. Time now for the live wire with Fitty.
The east to the west, up north to the down south, live wire's connect.
I'm not gonna lie. I think it's all cap.
You think Xavier Leggett is lying about his name?
This guy played in the SEC. Was on national TV how many times?
I actually don't know.
Met with the TV broadcast, I'd imagine, quite a bit last year. This never came up. You didn't correct the SEC, but when the boss of the NFL pronounces it, yep, that's my name. I don't buy it.
Yeah, but he didn't correct him then. It's just now.
Because he was on the phone because he wasn't there to give him that awkward bro hug that the commissioner does on draft night.
I understand it. It's an awkward thing to do to correct somebody in a post-game interview or anything like that. And plus, when you step up to the podium, it's not like people are calling you Xavier Leggett, Xavier Leggett. They're just saying, hey, Xavier. And so you don't have to correct them on it. I get how it happens. What are you looking at? Wes is all kinds of confused. What's going on?
I'm just seeing that Caleb Williams checked in at the Bears draft party using a hologram. Did you see this?
I did not see it.
The future.
Caleb Williams is different.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, that's pretty wild, man.
Yeah, this is pretty crazy. You go look it up. Caleb Williams is there in, I guess, AI, but not...
It's a hologram. It's in Front Office Sports. Check it out. Yeah, this is the world that we live in now.
All right. So Fitty doesn't like Xavier Leggett. He's going to continue to call him Xavier Leggett. I don't know if that's respectful, but Fitty is not going to be respectful to it, and so we move on. What kind of sound do you have for us today?
All right. Well, we're going to keep on talking about Xavier Leggett here in the Live Wire. And remember when Dave Canales answered or responded to the comments about Leggett saying that they promised if he was there at 33 that they would draft him? And Dave Canales said, yeah, I told that to about 50 different players. Well, just exactly how high was Leggett in the list of 50 that they told was their guy?
Oh, he was high up there because, like I said, it's a combination of the ability to bring an element to the football field, but then also just the fit, the Panther fit, you know? So definitely he was one of the higher guys there, which is why we were willing to, you know, go through the process of talking to teams and trying to figure this whole thing out, you know?
The Panther fit, Walker. That's kind of Matt Rulean when Matt Rule once said, respect the Panther. How much, though, do you think, and I know we've talked about it, but reiterate it for the new audience, how much do you think that the fact that it was very open that they wanted to draft Leggett, that they felt compelled to trade up one spot to make sure they got the guy they told the whole world we wanted?
I think it was a big part of it. I do think having the fifth-year option matters a lot. I don't want to just look over that, but I do think that they were paranoid about somebody jumping them and then selecting Xavier Leggett. It's going to be so weird. Xavier Leggett at 32 because it was so known. You met with them a million times. Leggett is trying to tell you that he is going to be that pick at 33 on a podcast, and he's saying they even want to use me like Mike Evans. Like, he's been telling you how they're going to use him, let alone that they're going to take him. I bet it did have something to do with them trading up.
Yeah, I think so too, man, because, you know, you're always thinking about the finances, and you think about if Bryce Young hits, how much money you're going to have to pay him, and so you want as cheap a personnel around him as you can possibly have. And so, yeah, I think that does make a lot of sense, and I think it was a shrewd move if it ends up working out and he does become that stud that one day you might have to pay. Hell, by the time he's due for free agency, receivers will probably be making low-end quarterback money. They already are now. Yep. So you're talking $35, $38 million by the time Leggett gets up there to be paid.
It's going
to
be weird.
One of the things we've talked about, or we've tried to figure out since Dan Morgan became the GM, is which players fit the dog that he is searching for to add to the roster. And he talked about if Leggett has that dog in him late last night.
Yeah, I'd say so. He's definitely has that about him. You'll get around him. He's a great young man. But he's also, you know, you can tell he's got that dog in him, that look in his eye. I think he's, you know, not only a special player, but a special person too. So, but yeah, he definitely has that dog mentality.
So let's ask the most pertinent question here, Wes. What kind of dog does Xavier Leggett sound like?
I think based off his build, I'm trying to think of what type of dog he would compare to.
Xavier Leggett sounds like a badass.
You need to call the man Leggett. That's what he asked to be called.
Well, no, I don't.
But Xavier Leggett doesn't sound so.
What about Xavier Leggett? Because if Fresh Dookie is correct on Twitter, I hate that name.
I'll say that again.
On text line, he's saying, I think you still pronounce it like Leggett. Enunciate the get, but you have the lead. This is all terrible. I think it is Leggett. That makes much more sense to me than Leggett. So maybe Xavier Leggett. I don't know how to pronounce our first round pick's name.
Wow.
Everything.
We can't feel bad. Everybody's been doing it.
I'm XL. So confused.
Yeah.
Just give him the initials.
I do like XL. It's a sweet when you start tweeting about him and then you start to settle in like an SGA, like whatever the initials that take over somebody's name. XL is a good one.
I think I would compare him to a Doberman.
It's pretty good.
Sized dog, really fast, athletic. I think that's what I would say.
I think Dobermans are a little too slender.
I was thinking that.
I'm going to go Rottweiler. If we're looking for a junkyard dog, maybe something a little taller. I don't like Mastiff because Mastiff's
Rottweiler's not fast like that, though, right?
They can be, I guess. Maybe
I want to find out.
What about a giant Schnauzer? Because they're fast.
Schnauzer.
But they're not as big.
Your animal knowledge, man, is off the chain.
This is the middle of the Venn diagram that has my animal knowledge and sports knowledge meet as one. I can tell you what kind of dogs wide receivers resemble. I'm standing on Rottweiler. I'm going with it. That's what I'm rolling with.
All right. You know, if we go with XL, though, he could be a St. Bernard. You know?
You talk about not fast.
If we draft Jackson Powers Johnson, that's more like the St. Bernard you're looking for.
You ever seen a St. Bernard in person?
Yes, yeah. I have.
It's pretty breathtaking how big those dogs
are. I love them, man. I at one time thought about getting one, but I've seen how sick that they can get. I read up.
They can get mean. They can get drooly. Yeah. If you don't like drool.
The puppies, I'm done. You bring a St. Bernard pup around.
The puppies are. How do you not like puppies?
I front on people changing their voices. I laugh at people changing their voices for their dogs. I'm doing that for a St. Bernard pup. A lot of puppies. A lot of puppies I'm changing my voice for.
We found the kryptonite to Wes's masculine shield. All we have to do is find a St. Bernard puppy. And then he crumbles and melts.
Remember that
to the
car
ground.
Commercial with the girl and she surprised, I think he surprised her with the dog and then the car after that? Oh, that St. Bernard puppy. It was too
All right. We found the key to Wes's heart. St. Bernard puppy.
So you didn't change your voice when your son was a baby and you were talking to him? You didn't have a baby voice talk?
No, I didn't. I always talk to my son like I normally would talk.
I try to fight it a little bit. I do. So I don't go as crazy as other people when they talk to their dogs like that. It has to sound different.
Oh, no, we heard you talk to your dogs. Guinness, sit down. What you doing?
He was going crazy, man.
I was so excited to meet him. And I mean, it was like full
He's about
dad
to jump
mode.
Out of the window.
Hey, sit down. What are you doing?
No, they were excited to meet us.
Yeah.
And then Dad Walker came over there and laid the law down.
He was about to jump out the window, okay? It's a long drop. He's on trazodone. So and let me tell you, he was lit on some traz, okay? He hates cars, can't stand it. He's panting the entire time. We had an hour-long drive, hour and a half, something like that. So, no, he was about to jump out, try to jump into Fitty's arms, probably miss, flip onto the ground, and do so all drugged up. No, he needed to lay down when I told him to lay down. Go on, Fitty.
We've been talking a lot about the fifth-year option. Bill Belichick joined the Pat McAfee Show draft special to talk about why and how that played a role in Carolina's decision to trade up into the first round to draft Xavier Leggett.
I mean, here's something to think about. If you think you really got a good player, you have the fifth-year option at 32. At 33, you got him for 4 years. So if you were coming up to get a player at a highly paid position, tackle, quarterback, corner, pass rusher, receiver, it's probably worth it. If you're coming up for a center, that doesn't really make financial sense. The player's still the player. I get that. But as far as the fifth-year option, that could come into play here.
What do you think about that, Walker? Like, let's say Carolina would have done this for Graham Barton or JPJ. Would you have been not on as bored as you were with this move because, like you said, you're doing it for a skill position player, quarterback, one of those players?
That soundbite makes sense to me. Perhaps I wouldn't have thought of that before I heard the soundbite, but Graham Barton is just somebody that was one of my favorite prospects in the entire draft class. He filled a position of need. He has position flexibility. We got to see him be such an athletic player at that center spot. So it reminds me of, just because it's the high-end example, I'm not saying he's going to be Jason Kelce, but he does remind me of a mold to where he can just be this athletic dude Dave Canales can use in ways that you can't use other centers. So maybe it would be different for Graham Barton. I don't want to trade up anyway, though. Just to be clear, I didn't want to trade up for anybody. The fact that you only trade up one spot, okay, you lose a fifth-round pick, but you gain a sixth-round pick, whatever. But yeah, perhaps that reasoning does make some more sense if you're talking about what position you should trade up for.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, Belichick does make a lot of sense there because these are positions you are going to have to pay a lot of money for. We just said it. By the time Leggett is up for his first big contract. I mean, there's no telling what wide receivers could be making, especially with the position exploding in popularity again. It's not that receivers ever went out of style, but now it seems like more than ever, teams are coveting wide receivers, so that will place more of a premium when it's time to cut the check. So that makes all the sense to me.
704 number, Walker, is shooting their shot to become the dog trainer for Guinness.
He's already trained, man. I appreciate it, though. Thank you very much. You saw him one time, and he was on Traz, okay?
Like, if he has to be on Traz, is he trained?
In the car? Yes. We can work with anxiety as much as possible. Trust me, we've taken him in the car a million times. And that dog, that beagle, he's just not about it. Carolina, I do appreciate it, though.
Carolina Crazy, you ask a really important question, too.
Okay.
If I just, and I think I did a really good job describing the way you talked to Guinness. How do you talk to them poor bamboo shrimp when you're talking to the fish?
The bamboo shrimp, I just want him to use the flow maker I got, man, so he can just sit and filter feed all day long.
I bet you, you cuss at the fish, don't you? Like, why don't you do this, you stupid beep, 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 beep.
If I do that, I would be certifiable, okay? And I'm not that, I promise. I might have some weird quirks about me. I do like fish. I do not talk to them, okay? That's not anything that I do. I promise you.
C.J. Stroud and Micah Parsons were on some NFL draft special last night for Bleacher Report because we need so many draft specials to cover the draft. But he talked about
hating Loki.
What'd you say?
I said you're hating Loki.
Oh yeah, I thought it was bad.
Oh
my God. Micah too. Micah included. Like, get your ass in the weight room. Get your ass in the film room. We got games to win. I don't need you talking about prospects.
So Fitty, you don't like players doing the draft specials. You don't like player podcasts. Like,
nope.
I don't understand. Do you have like a complex? You don't like the people who actually do it talking about it? Or what is it? Because I thought C.J. Stroud was excellent.
Oh.
And I like what Micah Parsons brought to the table too.
You know, I think
there's room for everybody.
This is our medium, Wes. The more that guys like them do it, it takes away opportunities from you, from me.
They ain't taking nothing from your boy.
What about, they could stand in the way of the Wes and Walker draft special.
Fitty, there's room for everybody to have space in here.
Much rather have one of these high-priced athletes up there talking.
I knew that's what it was. I should have been a lawyer.
Anyway.
They ain't taking your boy. I'm a former player.
No, I'm saying what I said everybody, because they would look down on me, too, because I'm not all pro, ex-NFL, none of that, so I'm no different. I'm just saying there's room for everybody.
I was all conference at Bunker Hill. They ain't taking
my
job.
That's what I'm saying. There's room for all of us.
Stroud loves the pick of Xavier Legeet.
No, don't do that. Don't introduce more pronunciations. Don't do that.
You don't get receivers to all be the same type of route runners or the same type of weapons.
Yeah.
I think Deontay Johnson, I think is a heck of a route runner, creates a lot of separation. Thielen, another guy who is a vet, very smart, had a good year last year. I think this guy comes in, and he is that DK Metcalf. He is that Deebo Samuel guy that takes the top off that they didn't have last season, that it makes those tough, strong catches. I think Legette has good high crosses. He has good things where he doesn't put his feet in the ground all the way because he's so big, and he can't stop like that just because he's naturally like a big human. But I like Legette. Like, Legette was high on my board because, you know, we run the Niners system, and, you know, he's a guy who can get sweeps. He can line up. He can line up and really do whatever you ask him, except, I mean, for the things that you pointed out. But I think you can develop that as he gets slimmer. And I like the pick for Bryce, man. I think that's a good time get.
All right, Wes, since you thought C.J. Stroud was, quote, excellent, what'd you make of his breakdown of Xavier Legette?
I mean, that was tremendous. It was so detailed. That's the thing I like about C.J. and the thing I like more and more about him when I hear him talk. For one, he seems like a junkie to where he just watches tons of college football, tons of NFL football, tons of his own stuff, and he just knows ball. And that quote he made about him not being able to stop his feet like that because he's such a big guy and different things like that, that's a quarterback that understands his receivers, man. And I mean, I think C.J. Stroud's football acumen is just splendid, man. He's a brilliant, brilliant player, and that's why I think that he's just going to be a tremendous quarterback throughout his career.
You hate that the angle last year during the pre-draft process made this ugly turn because of the S2 processing test. because Anthony Richardson performed well on it. Will Levis performed well. Bryce Young performed the best that we had ever seen. And so while it wasn't, while people that truly tried to inform the consumers what the S2 test was simply processing and more reaction time than it was football IQ, that was still the leap that people made. And therefore, you view C.J. Stroud as a dumber football player because he didn't score well in this S2 test, when in reality, that's not the case at all. And I thought he was fantastic as well last night. And we're starting to see this a little bit with C.J. Mm-hmm. too. He's in the medium space. We see him alongside Mike Renner, who's a part of Pro Football Focus, and Adam Lefko. So this was put on with the help of a couple professionals, one with evaluation, one with just hosting. And C.J. Stroud was a star.
Yes.
This is why I hate it, because C.J. Stroud is only gaining more momentum as a personality, as an amazing yeah. player. And, of course, this is the guy that the Panthers didn't draft number one. I bet Bryce Young would also be able to talk ball with C.J. Stroud at that same no level. Doubt. It's just, you know, CJ has the 4,000 passing yards to go along with it, yeah. and Bryce has the two wins.
I'm calling it now, man. I think when his career is done, he might mess around and get a Tom Brady deal when it's all said and done for doing color commentary.
But I was very also early call, but maybe.
He's so good, man. But, oh, it was something else I wanted to say, man, but I forgot. I know we're up against it.
All right. Wes remembers what he was going to say after the break. One more segment to go. Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
Are you challenging me to a walk-off?
Oh yeah, that's a walk-off challenge, my friend.
It's a walk-off. It's a walk-off.
One more segment to go here on Weston Walker. Don't want to waste any more time. Don't have a lot, so let's get to it. Time now for the leftover takes.
Can you repeat the part of the stuff where you said all about the things?
Wes, why don't you lead us off, man?
All right, just a reminder tomorrow for anybody that wants to come out. We will be out at 8:30 a.m. walking 29 miles. We're going to try to get this thing done. That's the amount of years that my mom has been a suicide survivor, so we're bringing awareness to suicide and mental health. We will be out at Ruth G. Shaw Trailway, 8501 University City Boulevard. So come join us. You don't have to come right when it starts, and you don't have to walk all 29 miles either. Anything helps. You can also donate to the cause if you would like, wellness, action, and recovery. I got the information. There is a flyer on the Weston Walker page as well as my pages, WesBryant_72. But hey, you know, if you guys come out there and join in, it would be great.
You can see all of us out there as a show.
Yep, the homies coming out there to support. I really appreciate that from you guys.
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely. So, again, we'll make sure we have that on the Twitter socials. It's already up there, but maybe we retweet it again just to keep it in your recent timeline. You got a leftover take over there, Fitty? You grab the mic. I know it's going to be good.
How many miles you think I get before I tap out?
I don't know.
I'm going to put you down. I think you could do about three.
So, one, it's a three-mile trail, right?
Yeah. 3 mile trail. Oh, it's the trail is.
Yeah, I think
miles.
It's like 3 miles round trip, if I'm not mistaken.
I really like the idea of joking with Fitty, even if this isn't true, of saying if you start at the very beginning, then you have to do the entire 29 mile.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, fam, that's not happening. Yeah.
No, I know it's not.
Because we'll be talking and laughing and stuff like that, and so you know that'll take your mind off of what you're doing. But wear some good shoes, man. Don't come out there lacking.
And I'm not gonna hate on you because I'm not walking 29 miles. I can't do it. I will be there. But I can't walk no 29 miles either, man. Me and you both. I'm not going to hate on you for that. My leftover take is that I understand the reason to trade up for Xavier Leggett. It's going to take some getting used to. I understand trading up for him, though. If you want to do that to make sure that you have that fifth year, we just heard the sound from Bill Belichick making sense of it, going after a wide receiver at 32 in the first round rather than just staying home at 33, not having that fifth year of flexibility, plus getting somebody that can help Bryce Young. Dave Canales seems to really like the way that he can use him, even if he's not completely polished. It feels like Dave Canales likes the skill set enough to take a chance on him and use him in the offense right away. Love it. Here for it. Can't wait to see what they do at 39, which brings me to the random question of the day.
What do you want? What do you want?
It's not that simple.
What do you want?
I want Jackson Powers Johnson, Ryan. That's what I want. I want him there. It's that simple. It is simple. I want him. But I will be totally fine with Cooper DeJean. Those are my two crown jewels at 39.
Yeah, I think Jackson Powers, Johnson, and man, there's so many good selections left on the board. I forget, what's my man from Alabama, the pass rusher? I'd be good with that, too. I did him the other day.
Oh, Chris Braswell.
Chris Braswell, yes, yes.
Not to be confused with what was an awesome score for Charlotte 49ers basketball in the early 2010s. Chris Braswell had post moves for day. Big Al Light, if you will.
Walker, you good with a running back in the third round, maybe?
Third round, I'm cool with that. And you know I like Trey Benson.
You want Trey Benson.
I'd be cool with Trey Benson. Jonathan Brooks, too, I'd be fine with it. It's just that Trey Benson.
I think Jonathan Brooks is going to go in the second round.
Yeah, I do, too. But I'm looking for Jackson Powers Johnson, and I'm looking for Cooper DeJean. Although, if you draft him, I'm not sure if it's DeJean or DeJean.
I know. I've always called him DeJean, and I should know better because I was at the Bronco Nagurski Awards that he was at. And I think it is. I don't remember. Let me not even pretend like I do.
Yeah. I don't even know what. How did I'm just draft somebody. Draft a Smith. Whoever is a Smith, draft him just so I can
draft
pronounce
CDJ.
It.
That's what you can call him. CDJ.
Okay. That's what we'll do. Is there a crown jewel for you if you're a Panthers fan, Fitty? And you can even share some prospects you would like the Cowboys to go after with them trading back so much.
Yeah. I think I'm with you. I want. Powers Johnson. I sent y'all the set the other day of how centers, if you draft a center, they typically work out in the NFL. Yeah.
They brought that up last night too on a broadcast when Graham Barton went.
So that's one I was very keen on for the Cowboys, dude. I was all over maybe a little Jonathan Brooks, maybe in the second round, maybe even in the third if he was there when Dallas drafted. But Big Zeke is reportedly returning to Dallas, which probably takes them out of the running back market. So,
and it shouldn't, by the way.
It should not.
But this – and look, Mike McCarthy wants to run the ball down three scores in the fourth quarter. Let's get another running back, damn it.
He does. I'll never – you and I, there are some things that we can't be more on the same page. We're on the same sentence, same word, and that was it. When we would come in and watch Mike McCarthy's play calling when they are supposed to be throwing the football and they hand it off to Tony Pollard for a five-yard gain when they need a touchdown. Not a first down. They need a touchdown.
On my birthday, losing to the Arizona Cardinals, down two scores. 5 minutes to go. We're running.
Yeah, I take O-lineman for my Niners to start tonight. Let's keep going in the trenches. We traded up and took JPJ. I might not hate on that. Sorry.
If that were to happen, that'd be some Baltimore-type luck where you're getting the best offensive lineman left late in the second round. That'd be some Baltimore.
No, I said if they traded up.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they do not have a pick before the Panthers pick at 39. So it's Buffalo, New England, Arizona, Washington, the Chargers, Tennessee, and then there's Carolina selecting at 39.
They're rumoring Spencer Rattler to the Giants in the second round, I read.
Okay. I mean, they clearly were wanting a quarterback. They could not make the deal to go up and get Drake May. So looks like they will get a different Carolina quarterback if they draft Spencer Rattler. That'll do it for Wes and Walker. Hell of a show, gentlemen.
Good luck to the locals today, second and third round. Hopefully see some of the local cats get snatched off the board.
And hopefully the good ones come to Carolina. Yep. So hopefully that happens and we can recap all of it on Monday as we do every weekday from 12 to 3. Keep it right here. More excellent draft coverage coming right at you with the Kyle Bailey Show alongside Smoke Ludwig. You're listening to Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.